This podcast is brought to you by the Legarten Institute. I'm Sianne Hansen, Executive Director, and we hope you enjoy this conversation.
This is Anne Applebaum. I'm the director of the Transitions Forum at the Legarten Institute, and I'm talking to Leonid Volkov, who is one of the founders of the Party of Progress, close ally of Alexei Navalny in Russia, and a member of the Yekaterinburg City Council. Thank you for agreeing to talk to us. Leonid, you spoke this afternoon about a number of issues, about the nature of the Russian opposition, about a new coalition to bring together like-minded Democrats and, as you said, pro-European parties in Russia. Can you talk a little bit about who you're appealing to? I know that you're in charge of sociological surveys for your group. Tell me a little bit about the electorate. Who might be your supporters?
Well, in general, we believe that our core message about European values, fighting the corruption, and fair government and fair institutes is actually a good message for almost everyone. But of course, we have some core audience where we feel the most of the support. And this is, of course, the inhabitants of the large cities, and most Russians live in large cities or in large agglomerations. And of course, these are younger people. So especially young men, self-employed people, well-educated people, people who want to have some better futures than their parents and grandparents had within the communist regime. And they now feel that actually old times are coming back. Also, some of the elder people who didn't forget the old times because of the propaganda, which is now telling that the Soviet regime was very good, also turning to us. And we have also quite a lot of support among people like 45 plus.
And you think that European values, you know, for example, freedom of speech, this is something that appeals to a wide range of Russians?
It is. We are conducting three surveys every month, and our sociological service is the best in the country. We have predicted several election results better than anyone. And in this service, we ask a variety of questions that are important for our political planning and for our upcoming political campaigns. But also we do a lot of research on core values. Those 84% that Putin refers to, this frightening number of kind of 84% of Putin's support ratings, they're not at all homogeneous. They're not at all the same. Some of them do really support him. Some of them support the Crimea annexation. Some of them just support any power, any regime. Some of them do like his rhetorics on some questions. We want to structure this 84%, to clusterize it, to find out actually what are these people and why some of them are now supporting Putin and the current regime. And we find out that basically they're all very different, and among them there are a lot of people who share our beliefs. For instance, almost 90% do agree that freedom of speech is a core value and that's very important. More than a half agrees that Russia should cooperate with Europe and that Russia is part of European culture and it's important to keep and develop good relations to Europe despite of all the propaganda. So I think we will be able to find out not only among our 16% of oppositional-minded people, but also among those famous 84% of Putin supporters, we will find enough of those who would support our message of fighting the corruption and developing public institutions.
One of the interesting things about your coalition, which is going to include, I think, six parties plus a couple of wider movements, is that you are convinced that it's going to be possible, or you're hoping very much that it will be possible, to win at least some influence legally through the voting system by standing for elections, first local elections and then national elections. And you were very optimistic today about the possibility of that and about being that you'll be allowed to do that. Can you talk a little, explain why? Where's your optimism coming
well,
from?
Well, I have to be optimistic, otherwise I wouldn't do any politics in Russia. I have a lot of things to do apart from this. You have to stay optimistic when you are involved in these political processes. But more, we also know that the current popularity of the regime is mostly Putin's personal popularity. Also elections, so are the elections of party lists, and the ruling party, the United Russia, doesn't have a lot of support. Actually, it doesn't have almost any support. The question of ballot access, of the admission of our party to the election, is of course not a legal question at all. Now, technically, our coalition has ballot access, has the right to be on the ballot, but this right could be very easily taken from us just because they would like to take it away. For this not to happen, we have to develop enough political pressure. We have to show that if our party is not represented in the ballot and if our supporters are not politically represented in the parliament or in the regional parliaments, this would lead to worse consequences for the regime, for the government, like, I don't know, like rallies, like some public protests, like strikes or something like this, than if we are allowed to run and to get our percentage of votes. This pressure is a very complicated concept. We can't feel it, we can't measure it, but we believe that we understand how to build and how to develop it, how to make more pressure on the regime to let.
You've had experiences in elections before.
Yeah.
Both you and your party. Can you say a few words about those?
So our main success so far was the mayoral campaign of Alexei Navalny, our leader, for the mayor of Moscow in summer 2013. This was a very short and sudden campaign. The elections were announced surprisingly for everyone in mid-June 2013, with the election date set on September 8th. So we had less than 3 months to coordinate, while our main rival, the incumbent mayor, Sergei Sobyanin, started his preparations several months before, and we had no financial basis at all, so we had to crowdfund our campaign. We had no infrastructure for the elections still, and of course no access to the mass media, so no access to the television at all. Still, we made a very successful crowdfunding and a very successful campaign based on volunteers who were doing some small tasks like distribute our leaflet in your apartment block, or distribute our leaflet on the street, or talk to your friends on Facebook and so on. And this campaign made it possible to boost our approval rating from 3% in June to almost 30% on the election day. So the incumbent mayor won 51% of the popular vote by official results, and Alexei Navalny won 28%. So the incumbent mayor closely missed the second round of the election, which would happen if his results would be under 50%. And all other runner-ups, there are four other candidates, all of them representing large official parties, all together won less than 20%, so less than Alexei. So we do believe that our message can be spread far beyond our regular audience of the so-called liberal intelligentsia, but that normal people, also people with less education and lower income, also can actually feel the link between the enormous level of corruption and the failing infrastructure of healthcare or public transportation.
Is there a role for the West in your campaign? Is there something you'd like to see Western governments do? Is there Western media?
Well, moral support probably more than anything, but also what is important is for the West to avoid double standards and to fight the corruption that Russia tries to export to the West. When Russian corporations, state-owned corporations, do their business in the West, they follow the same standards they follow in Russia, and the standards include corruption. When Russia's oligarchs, especially Putin's friends and allies, launder their money in the West or try to hide this money in the West, this should necessarily be a subject for some exploration and law enforcement, which is now, as I feel, is not always the case.
Right. Thank you very much. Good
Thank
luck.
You.
Thanks.
To hear more podcasts from the Legatum Institute, please visit our iTunes channel or website at www.li.com.